Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and I was certainly enjoying the sweet, sweet sounds of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reggae.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Paul McCartney's... do you think that's better than Wonderful Christmas Time, or is that about equally as...
Way worse.
I think it's worse. I kind of like Wonderful Christmas Time. Let's save that for Agree to Disagree Volume 2.
Sounds like a good plan, but of course the reason we're playing that is because it's time, once again, it is that time of year, for our fifth annual Beatles Holiday Gift episode. Here we are, back with your jam-packed list of books and CDs and DVDs and other miscellaneous items to buy for yourself or your favorite Beatle fan. We've had some big releases that, of course, if you listen to the podcast or if you're at all aware of what's going on in the Beatle world, you'll certainly know about. But then we have a lot of other ones you may not know about. And we've had people in the past tell us that they appreciate us deep diving and sometimes into the dumpster to find some things here to bring them to your attention. So I'm excited and ready to get going. So... Chris, why don't you take it away?
Well, I would say it's pretty obvious what the biggest release of the year is. It's the film 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years, directed by Ron Howard, now out on Blu-ray or on DVD. Deluxe editions, of course, have second disc with, looks like, about 100 minutes worth of features. Here are the features. Words and Music, 24 minutes. John, Paul, George, and Ringo reflect on songwriting. Early Clues to a New Direction. What do you think that is?
Ooh, I don't know.
Special feature touching on the Beatles as a collective. The importance of the humor with it, you, of course. And the impact of women on their early lives and songwriting. 11-minute feature on Liverpool. 12 minutes of... The Beatles in concert, that gives you some full-length performances of just various tunes. And you also get additional features. Ronnie Spector and the Beatles, Shooting a Hard Day's Night, The Beatles in Australia, Recollections of Shea Stadium, Beatles in Japan, Three Beatles Fans, and an alternative opening for the film there.
Okay. What are your thoughts? I just ordered my copy, and it should be arriving sometime later this week. We're recording on the Monday before Thanksgiving, so you'll get this before Black Friday, if all goes well. But are you excited for the special release?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see the special features. Obviously, both of us saw it in the theater, so we'd refer you to that episode for a full-length discussion of it. And it's also available, of course, if you have Hulu. You can watch it right now, feature film. And I suggest anyone who's listening to this is a diehard Beatle fan has probably seen it already. Yeah. But if you haven't, please take some time, go see it or buy it on one of these releases.
Yeah.
And great gift for anyone.
Yes, indeed. So we'll give you a review once we've seen those special features and can dig into some of the details after that. But of course, it came out as well at the same time with the album Live at the Hollywood Bowl. And I know there's a lot of people who actually don't like that fact and think that it should have, you know, of course, Live at the Hollywood Bowl was a 1977 release. And a lot of people think that the cover, which Chris is holding a very nice vinyl pressing there, the cover has the 8 Days a Week movie, and it's made to look like it's the soundtrack for the actual movie, which, of course, it isn't. I wanted to get your take on that. Some people are kind of not fans of this kind of blending or blurring the lines here.
Do we got to complain about everything these days? We can't just be happy that we got an amazing remastering of... pretty hard to listen to recording, and now it's very easy to listen to and sounds good and crisp and has a nice liner notes from David Frick in it, and has some nice pictures in it, you know? Yeah. And, of course, I've got the vinyl version, which is pretty nice. So yeah. Let's play a track from this, Dave. Now, throughout this episode, I thought it would be fun if I just gave you a choice of what you want to hear.
Okay.
So we're going to do a pick 'em here. So would you rather hear You Can't Do That? Are you in a You Can't Do That mode? Are you in a Rollover Beethoven mood? Or do you want to hear some All My Lovin'?
Ooh, I'm going to go with You Can't Do That, because that's something that you don't hear live too often. So let's check that one out.
I got something to say that might cause you pain. I got you talking to that boy again. I'm gonna let you down and leave you flat. Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Well, it's the second time I caught you talking to him. I have to tell you one more time, I think it's a sin.
One of the bonus tracks.
Yeah, there, that sounds really great.
Hollywood Bowl. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Real good.
So go out and pick that up for sure if you haven't already, or download it now. So, yeah, that's the biggest Beatles recording / movie release for by far. But we've got a lot of books that we want to tell you about as well. So, Chris, you're going to start us with a new book that recently came out about 1966.
Yeah, this one is from Steve Turner. Now, you'll remember Steve Turner wrote that Complete Beatles Songs, the stories behind every song written by the Fab Four, and that came out last year. And quick turnaround here. He came out with Beatles 66, The Revolutionary Year. I saw a review of it here in Paste magazine, and gives it a pretty good rating, 8.8 rating as far as the book goes. And it says, that the book really reads as sort of a coming of age story for John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And of course, we know, you know, how 66 was. And they said there's a lot of stories of the disturbing things they were going through on the road, especially in Japan and Manila and things like that. So. Looks to be a good read. That's probably the biggest new Beatles book release.
Look forward to reading that. Another book that is coming out actually on November 30th is by Ken Womack, who is a noted Beatles scholar and a professor. He published a big, huge book last year called The Beatles Encyclopedia: Everything Fab Four, but it was huge and expensive, and so now he's made an abridged version, which will come out, as I said, November 30th, documenting the enduring cultural impact and musical legacy of the Beatles, providing readers with a one-stop resource to the Fab Four's compelling story. So basically it's looked like sort of an A to Z of things that happened in the Beatles world. So He's an excellent scholar, and I would highly recommend anything. I'm going to try to get him on the show at some point, so maybe to talk about it. But definitely check out Ken Womack's only $30 Beatles Encyclopedia, Everything Fab Four.
Next book is a book called Looking Through You, Rare and Unseen Photographs of the from the Beatles Book Archive. It's by Andy Neal edits it, and it's about 300 images from the photo archive of the Beatles Book Monthly, previously unpublished or unseen in their original form. And I had a good flip through it, and, you know, sometimes these picture books are like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think probably the best recent one was the Ringo book.
Yeah.
Photograph. But this rivals it. There's a lot of great pictures in it. Hard to describe on an audio form, but give it a look see in the bookstore.
Yeah, so. That sounds good. I always like those like very kind of glossy, nice presentations of pictures. So that would be a good one to have.
Yeah, and that's pricing out at about $25, so not too bad.
Yeah, good. Another one we're going to be interviewing the author of is called Happiness is Seeing the Beatles, Beatlemania in St. Louis, and that's published by Sarah Schmidt, as it says, basically, little-known facts about Beatlemania between 1963 and 2015 in St. Louis, and a lot of fans were interviewed. The Beatles played in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, and Paul McCartney called it, quote, the worst little gig they ever played. So I'm very curious to see why, and we'll hear what Sarah has to say, but check that out. All about St. Louis, across the state from me.
One of the ones I really am thinking about getting here is this one. It's the Beatles Fab Finds of the Fab Four, just to have it for the title.
That's a great title.
Yeah. I'm going to also start saying that as I warm up to do improv to warm up my vocal cords. It's by Noah Fleischer. And this sort of shows you a bunch of like artifacts that they found and memorabilia. We haven't talked much about memorabilia on the show, but this book has a lot of like really interesting little things like the pieces of the Star Club stage. Do you
know? Oh, wow.
Yeah. The dance floor and building facade in Hamburg. So, like, things as obscure as that. And, of course, like, a lot of EMI paperwork and, you know, all kinds of cool little pictures of it and then descriptions of each item. It's pretty good. And, of course, guitars and things of that nature that you'd expect to see. And signatures and nice little drawings from John and all kinds of little things like that in it. So it looks to be one of the better releases.
Next up is a little bit of a self-promotion here, but going back to Ken Womack again, this is a collection of essays, scholarly essays, called New Critical Perspectives on the Beatles, Things We Said Today. And it's edited by Ken Womack and Katie Kaporch. It features essays by friend of the show Kit O'Toole and friend of the show Catherine Cox, as well as many other people, including yours truly. So I want my essay. I've mentioned before, but I have an essay on George Harrison and influence of American popular song in his work. And so if you're interested in reading a scholarly type essays, which are not that scary, let me tell you, they're pretty accessible, then check that out. It's called New Critical Perspectives on the Beatles, Things We Said Today.
If you enjoyed 8 days a week, you might also enjoy reading Some Fun Tonight Volume 1, the backstage story of how the Beatles rocked America. And this focuses on touring of America step by step, and it's by Chuck Gunderson. That's just a mention there of that one.
I saw that book at the Fest for Beatle fans, and he was there, and it looked very nice. Look at all the details about every single show, and it was very like nice color photos and very very well done. So I can recommend that one.
I'm sure his volume 2 is going to be the next tour, and volume 3 is going to be, the 66 stuff. So
yeah, oh, it's yeah, it looks great. One more book that we're just going to mention very briefly is the paperback edition, because if that hardback was too heavy for you, which it was pretty heavy, is pretty heavy, you can get a paperback of Tune In, The Beatles All These Years by Mark Lewisohn, and you can get it for the nice economical price of $14.
Not bad.
No, not at all. So that just came out recently, and well worth, of course. Chris is still on, I think on his Kindle, he said he's about 12% through, and you're on page like 700. Is that
right? I'm on chapter 50, and I'm like 12% through. It's a log book. It is, yes. It is pretty long.
It is.
I actually put it down for a while because of another read we'll talk about pretty soon.
Yeah.
If there's a kid in your life, what better gift than the gift of Legos? Lego Ideas Yellow Submarine Building Kit is out for the price of $60, and it looks fantastic. You get your yellow submarine, of course, and then you've got figures of all four of the Beatles. It looks really great. I want to buy it for myself.
Yep.
Just to nerdily have on my shelf.
As a kid who grew up on Legos, and I still have a lot of them here, I like the Lego architecture models. I was very excited to see this one. So it'll definitely be on my shelf somewhere, some way, somehow. And I read somewhere that they wanted to get other types of Beatle Legos, but haven't gotten the rights yet. So I'm not sure exactly what they were planning to do. Not sure. Can you think of something else you could Legoize?
I don't know. Maybe a Magical Mystery Tour, kind of. Maybe, I don't know. Or
yeah,
Sergeant Pepper, kind of.
It would have maybe to be something like psychedelic, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Strange.
I don't know. But definitely. Yeah. Cool for kids and for adults too. So.
That's right. Now we, as you all know, we attended the Fest for Beatles Fans here in Chicago this year, and there was a lot of stuff there. It's way too much to mention, but I just wanted to mention one of the things that definitely caught my eye is the art of Eric Cash, and he is at ericcashillustration.com. And you can purchase this. You can see the art and purchase prints right off of that website. A couple of the ones I like the best are there's one of called Country Gentleman. Picture of George with his sort of country looking guitar. Love Is All You Need. That's with John holding his headphones singing the song. They're just very beautiful, and Take Two is great. It's from the last recording sessions with both Paul and George singing into the mic, and they're just beautifully rendered illustrations. You can also get iPhone and iPad covers and a calendar.
Oh, wow.
Thanks. So very good. Eric Cash.
Yeah, his stuff was really attractive. It was in a whole room by itself at the fest, and I remember being struck by some of them as well. So definitely would look good on anyone's wall.
I believe a couple of those items might also be on sale at Fest for Beatles Fan Store. Of course, you can always go.
Sure.
They have an online store as well.
I think that does it for me on Beatle group items.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll turn now to Paul McCartney.
That's right. Of course, we had a big Paul McCartney release this year. It was, of course, Pure McCartney. So, Dave, we both sort of had mixed review on Pure McCartney. You've got your two-disc version. You got your four-disc version. You've also got your album, your LP record version. Let's play a tune from it. Here's another one of our pick'ems.
Okay. Now,
which do you want to hear? Do you want to hear Appreciate? Do you want to hear Wide Dark Open Sea or Baby's Request?
Okay, you really are This is a tough one.
All three of which somehow make the pure McCartney four disc
wow.
set.
I'll go with Wine Dark Open Sea. That's maybe the least offensive of the three.
All right, here's a little Wine Dark Open Sea. Open up your heart if you wanna set me free. Full of love, your love, sailing on a wine dark open sea. Sailing on a wine dark open sea. Lighten up my heart, leave it to the evening breeze. Give me love. Oh, Wine Dark Open Sea there for you, Dave.
Well, it brings back some good memories of our off the ground episode, right? That was a fun one.
Yeah. No McCartney archive. Really. Of course, we've talked about this. It might be dead. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true with his move to Capitol. Interesting. Yep. But we did get a big McCartney book, a big biography that Chris is currently reading, and he's holding and showing me this big face of Paul McCartney right in my screen. So, yes, that's the Philip Norman book about Paul McCartney, and the title is?
Paul McCartney, The Life. Now, the first whole chapter or introduction is just Philip Norman explaining how he talked Paul McCartney into being able to write a book about him after the kind of, if anyone's read Shout, the Philip Norman book, not too friendly to Paul McCartney, basically is kind of like John's the genius of the group, and Paul McCartney's like garbage.
Yeah,
this is pretty much side man. That read.
Yeah.
And then of course he had the John Lennon book a few years back. This book though, he's really changed his tune on McCartney, and there's a lot about Paul's education, musical education, particularly in the avant-garde realms, and fashion, drug culture, in all kinds of different ways in London.
So there's a lot on his...
Well, yeah, he talks a lot about Paul, his personal life, obviously.
Yes.
And I'm still kind of halfway through the book. I'm just around Eleanor Rigby time.
So you're not at Heather yet.
I'm not to Heather yet. Those are going to be great chapters. He mentions like all of his loves and all of his hates, how he didn't really like Brian. They didn't really get along. He felt kind of bad about that towards they had sort of mended fences a little bit towards the end of his life. And there's just a lot of like little nuggets. It's too many to talk about, but just a lot of I get a real sense that he's a lot more open and collaborative than one would think from the last years of the Beatles, where it seemed like he was like in charge and like trying to like make everybody
schoolmaster.
It seems like, I mean, if you think about Eleanor Rigby, he's very inclusive. Talking to different people and getting feedback on different things. So it's just a lot to unpack with it. It's a very good book, and I'd recommend it.
So after you finish reading Philip Norman's book, you can go pick up Conversations with McCartney by Paul Dunoyer or Noyer, who wrote a book on John Lennon, I remember. But this is he claims that he has interviewed McCartney more than anybody else. And it's hard to know if that's true or not, but it could be worth a look. And McCartney's a tough interview usually because he tells a lot of the same stories and gets a little repetitive. So I am curious to see if some of the reviews have said that this book has a lot of things that you've not heard before. So I would be interested to see that. So check out Conversations with McCartney.
Mark Lewison said that like you can't really rely on what any of them say,
right,
because they've got their own perspective. So he's not so much interested in what they said as much as what the truth is, you know, getting to the truth of it.
And that's kind of an interesting topic. Do you feel, we're kind of going off topic a little bit, but it seems like certain people actually are pretty good interviews. Like I think I just read Bruce Springsteen in Rolling Stone, and that was an excellent interview. And he was very serious and didn't just go back and tell the old stories. So I don't know, maybe it just depends on who it is.
I think so. It depends on who it is, but I think, you know, and there's misremembering.
Yeah, exactly.
People just misremember stuff. And then if you go back and you look at things that are on paper,
yeah,
sometimes it says, tells you a different story. So Paul McCartney, his website, of course, I always love to go and see what the new shopping items are.
Yes.
And he's got a new collection of handcrafted jewelry.
Ooh.
Sterling silver designs created exclusively for paulmccartney.com. One's a little McCartney guitar with his signature. One's a wings. One's a little bird there. So pretty good. And, of course, the Pure McCartney t-shirts.
Are you going to be picking up one of those?
I've been wanting this men's black Pure McCartney t-shirt for a while. And also the Tug of War Reg t-shirt. Oh, that's great.
Looks good, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Cool.
So, and, of course, lithographs and stuff like that. And, you know, all kinds of stuff at the Paul McCartney shop.
Yeah, very cool. So that closes out our McCartney section, and we'll now move on to John and Yoko, and I'm starting with Yoko, because there was a big article in Rolling Stone in September that said Yoko Ono launches massive reissue project, and she's going to be releasing for the first time all of her albums on digital download and CD and vinyl. So all the ones that like Fly and all the different Apple ones, Approximately Infinite Universe, things like that. But they've released the first three, and that's Unfinished Music Number 1, Two Virgins, Unfinished Music Number 2, Life with the Lions, and then Plastic Ono Band. And not much to say about them. The first one was the famous Naked cover with John and Yoko. That was what their electronic kind of sound experimental goofing around. And then Unfinished Music Number 2, Life with Lions, has a bunch of experimental things on it too. And then 1970s Yoko Ono Plastic Ono Band actually rocks pretty hard. We played a song from it in our Yoko episode, but that's the album that has John on guitar and Klaus Voormann on bass and Ringo on drums. So pretty interesting and worth at least a listen, a brief listen, if nothing else. So, yeah, so you can take a look at some Yoko reissues.
Yeah, I won't be too excited about those particular ones. But I'll be more excited about the upcoming Fly and a couple others like that we mentioned in that episode. A couple of John releases in books. John Lennon versus the USA.
Yeah, this is one I just read a review about in the latest Beatle Fan magazine. It's called John Lennon versus the USA, the inside story of the most bitterly contested and influential deportation case in United States history. What a title. By Leon Wildes. And he was the lawyer who actually represented John during all of his immigration battles. So what an exciting thing to get here, to get his perspective telling the whole story of the case against Richard Nixon and all the other people in the government who were trying to get rid of John and kick him out of the country. So I'm very interested to read this myself. He has been involved in the U.S. versus John Lennon, which you and I both thought was a great movie. And he was in that film and just kind of gives you the story about what happened. And the good thing is the reviewer said that it's not in too much legalese. So for us non-lawyers, we'll get a lot of it, and whatever is in legalese, he explains. So I definitely put this one on my list. So the U.S. or John Lennon versus the USA.
Another sort of a Paul and John book, Come Together, Lennon and McCartney in the 70s, now out on paperback, is from Richard White. Come Together, compelling account of a crucial period of post-60s Beatle history, providing a new look at the Lennon-McCartney relationship during the 70s, offering fresh insight on the musical ambitions and personal motivations for renewing a creative alliance that so nearly happened but was thwarted, obviously, by circumstances beyond their control. So that looks like a pretty good read, too. Of course, there's that McCartney in the 70s book, too.
Yeah, that was a good book, too.
Really, you can really dig through those guys in the 70s in a couple different books.
Now, I don't know about this one, Chris, if you're going to be rushing off to buy the Blu-ray reissue of the movie How I Won the War.
Oh, yeah. Blu-ray,
yeah, which was the movie.
Did they even film that in, like, high-definition film? Or
I have no idea here. It's that's, of course, the movie that John Lennon was in and went to Spain to film, and that's when he wrote Strawberry Fields Forever, so it's kind of important in that. And he got the granny glasses. So kind of important for John's life, but I tried watching it once and never got through it. So maybe now would be a time to get through it again.
We'll do it. We'll have to do it. You know what we'll do is we'll make it one of our upcoming film reviews.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So
yeah, let's do
so
that.
So we'll both be forced to try to watch it.
But at least it'll be in Blu-ray, so it should look nice.
Another Lennon had a release this year, a new group, a very outlandish group, Les Claypool. So Sean Lennon, Les Claypool, and it's the Claypool Lennon Delirium. Have you heard this album, Dave?
I have not. No, I watched. Really? it's hard to believe. I did watch a YouTube clip of them performing, and I don't remember anything about it.
Well, let's do a pick 'em. You haven't heard any of these. So.
Completely a shot in the dark here.
So there's a song called Mr. Right, W-R-I-G-H-T. That's sort of the single from the album.
Okay.
Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear Cricket and the GD Movement 1, The Delirium? Or do you want to hear Bubbles Burst, which is a song about Michael Jackson's monkey?
Ooh. Wow, that an embarrassment of riches. let me go with the single. We'll do that one.
Mr. Right. So let's hear a little bit of Mr. Right from the Claypool Lennon Delirium. What do you think about Mr. Right?
Interesting, a little repetitive, but kind of funky. And I remember he played in Primus, right? That was his.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great bass player.
My problem with it, so I've listened to this album a few times. It's available, if you have Amazon Prime, you can listen to it on Amazon Music for free, which I would suggest going that direction. because it's a real mixed bag. Sean's been, you know, Ghost of a Sabertooth Tiger. We reviewed that album.
Yeah.
Very psychedelic album. This is sort of, there's hints of that. There's some good guitar playing. I really like the Cricket and the Genie, both movements of that. And I like Bubbles Burst, that song about Michael Jackson's monkey. But my big problem with this album is Les Claypool, which I've never liked Primus. I don't like him. And the few songs that he sings are just like, I don't know, not that great.
Not so good, yeah.
So I'd rate it a little bit under. I wish they'd do another Ghost of a Sabertooth Tiger over instead of another one of these. But
yeah.
But if you've seen live clips of them, they seem to be pretty good band.
Yeah, seem to be pretty having a good time. So there's that.
Yeah.
So that's our Lennon, Ono Lennon selections for the year. Ringo doesn't have too much here. We just have, as far as I can tell, we just have two DVD re-releases here. You know, Ringo, every year we seem to have one of these that comes out, and this year we have two. And this first one is Ringo's first movie that he was in as a solo, quote-unquote, actor, is Candy from 1968, which has a surprisingly all-star cast. We have Richard Burton, we have Walter Matthau, James Coburn, Marlon Brando.
If you've seen the Marlon Brando documentary, which, by the way, is fantastic, they show clips from this, and it looks ridiculous.
Well,
and it's like an example of his bad career moves.
Well, I don't know how you can say that after this plot summary. Candy Christian is an innocent yet luscious high school student, and when fate sends her out on a far-out journey of sexual discovery, Candy on her trippy travels encounters lust and lunacy at the hands of a drunken poet, a Mexican gardener, who's Ringo, a patriotic general, a mad surgeon, and a mystic guru.
I think the mystic guru is Marlon Brando.
Yes. So if you want to check out Ringo in Candy, it's available on DVD now.
Now available, Blind Man.
Yes.
And the Rolling Stone had a article about this this month, saying Blind Man, the story behind a drunk Beatles spaghetti western, how a depressed Ringo Starr ended up in oddball horse opera about a sightless gunfighter, and why it's a must see for Beatles fans. So,
love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched the trailer, and it's just like, what is even happening?
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. Like, just completely incomprehensible. Well, I mean, it says here, a blind gunman escorts a group of 50 women to Texas, where they are to be married to minors. When the mail order brides are kidnapped by a gang working for two Mexican banditos, one of whom is played by Ringo, and their villainous sister, the captors find out their opponent, dependent on his horse and his hearing, is a deadlier challenge than they might have expected.
Now, Dave, I guess the bit flip side to Back Off Boogaloo's single was a song called Blind Man.
That's correct.
Have you heard it?
I have not heard it. So,
well, let's do it.
Maybe we should hear Blind Man. Yeah, in honor of some Ringo here.
Well, Dave, that really, really sounds like a B-side.
It does. Or maybe a C-side, if you want.
Yeah. Don't even put that on the album side.
No.
Quiet Year from George.
Yes.
Except for, back in February, a live album and concert DVD of George Fest, the George Fest tribute concert. But this is George Fest, which had... seemed to be coinciding, the concert at least, with the re-release of his solo albums a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So we finally got the release of it this year. Some weird people on this album. A real mixed bag. Some good performers like Norah Jones and Ben Harper and Perry Farrell and Karen Elston, the Cold War Kids, Flaming Lips. But here's your pick 'em, Dave. What do you want to hear? Brian Wilson and Al Hardin from the Beach Boys. Do you want to hear Old Brown Shoe done by Conan O'Brien? Or do you want to hear What Is Life? Of course, What Is Life, performed by Weird Al Yankovic.
You're really picking them tonight here. This is great. wow, it's a toss-up here. I guess I'm going to have to go with Old Brown Shoe.
All right, let's hear Conan O'Brien with Old Brown Shoe. Well, Conan O'Brien for you.
He's very enthusiastic. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So sort of a strange concert there. But once again, if you got Amazon Prime, you can stream that and at least give it a sample.
Sure, sure.
Before you run out and get the vinyl or the Blu-ray or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, the only other George-related item is that the Traveling Wilburys albums came out on vinyl. And so if you're a vinyl head, and I know we have at least one in our audience, friend of the show, Sam,
that's right.
Make sure to pick up the Traveling Wilburys albums, which are always worth listening to.
I saw it in the store, and but I didn't see the three LP vinyl box, which is pricing out at about almost $90.
A little
there.
Hefty,
so,
yeah.
A little hefty, but if you've heard the show, our holiday gift show, we like to, towards the end of it here, give you some other recommendations of some other releases coming out. And so what we usually do is, and what we'll do this time as well, is do sort of a classic release recommendation. So reissues. There's a lot of reissues that came out this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you popped down 600 large for the Pink Floyd box.
Well, I see that they generously did make a truncated 2-CD version of the early years, at least so far.
But you want the other stuff.
I know. Where's the rest of it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, but it's like, I can't afford that.
No.
600? My girlfriend would throw an Old Brown Shoe at my head. If I spent all that money on friggin' Pink Floyd, you know? So.
Yes, but.
If you're young and single, by all means, buy it, though.
Yes, spend your whole paycheck on it. But fortunately, the one I've chosen here is not half that price here, even. It's only, you can get it for $127, which is a pretty good deal, I think. It's the Bob Dylan 1966 live recordings, and it's every concert on his 1966 tour of the US, UK, Europe, and Australia. It's 36 CDs. And includes the very famous Royal Albert Hall concert where people would yell Judas at him for plugging in and going electric. So it's very historic for that reason, but I'm not sure I would necessarily listen to this too much because it's obviously he's playing the same songs all the time. It gets a little bit repetitive, but just for the fact that they found all these and finally got them out, I think is great, and partially because of copyright reasons, but who cares? They're out anyway. So we're going to hear a song that he often played, and it's called Tell Me Mama.
Oh, hard to pot it down, dude.
I know. Sounds great.
That is great. Sounds stuff. Great. So, great stuff.
Yeah, 36 discs. So, love it.
Yeah. My selection is going to be... We talked about this, actually, a little bit on our Yoko Ono episode. And that's a group called Big Star. Big Star was a band in the 70s, very... little known in the 70s, almost completely ignored. And it's one of these things like you hear about the first Velvet Underground album that everybody who bought it was so influenced by it that, you know, it's just like
a cult
game
classic.
Changer. Well, Big Star had two albums with their sort of regular lineup. And then Alex Chilton, the head of Big Star, kind of Brian Wilson-esque kind of like... went to Memphis and just recorded some demos forever, and then eventually got some people together and recorded an album, their third album, sort of tentatively called Sister Lovers, which was a joke because both him and the other guy in the band were dating sisters.
Oh.
It never really came out. They shopped it around and it didn't get released. And then got released a little bit and started trickling out. And then Rykodisc put out a third Sister Lovers album back in when Rykodisc was doing their thing, kind of in the late 80s, early 90s. And then it sort of took off in indie circles as being a great album. Well, this is the complete third. It's called Big Star Complete Third. This is every recording from the session. And a lot of times this every recording from the session stuff is garbage. But Pitchfork gave this a 9.5 review. And they say Big Star's never completed third album is enshrined in a triple disc box that contains all known recordings from the 74 sessions and finally makes sense of all the chaos. Mm. What I wanted to play for you was the song that we mentioned that sort of rips off Yoko Ono's song. Called Mrs. Lennon, and this song's called Holocaust, and I'm going to play the Holocaust, the Fry Alternative Rough Mix, and you can get a feel of this album. It was an album that, it's just so good. The first disc, you get these optimistic-sounding demos, and then you see how they're slowly turned into sort of these sadder songs, and I'll compare it to something after we hear Holocaust, the Fry Alternative Rough Mix.
You're sitting down to dress.
You look in your eyes, say you realize everybody goes leaving those who fall behind. Everybody goes as far as they can.
Solemn, haunting song. Yeah. There's a little more fun songs on there too. There's some ironic songs. There is also a cover, sort of a loose cover of I'm So Tired on this. Mm-hmm. And it really made me think about I'm So Tired and compare it, and how Big Star was such a fan of the Beatles. And
yeah,
that really informs this kind of tune and a couple of other tunes. The songs are a little bit depressing and a little bit of a drag, yeah, but just so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
So wonderfully sung. And Alex Chilton's voice is fantastic. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Big recommendation for Big Star Complete Third.
Well, it's good. You've spoken about them a lot, so it's interesting to hear something finally. So, well, we also, in addition to our classic reissue, we like to give you a taste of what we listen to outside of the Beatles. And so we each picked a song and an artist. Mine is not very unknown, but I think it was a really impressive album for Paul Simon, and that's his album Stranger to Stranger, which came out in June. And it's really very experimental, and I think Paul McCartney can be experimental, and some of the other guys his age are experimental, but there's something different about Simon's music to me, and it still has a freshness and seems more sincere, I think. So I like it a lot, and a lot of great tunes. So we're going to play kind of the hit on it that he's performed a lot, and it's called Wristband.
Stepped outside the backstage door to breathe some nicotine and maybe check my mailbox, see if I can read the screen. Then I heard a click, the stage door lock. I knew just what that meant. I'm gonna have to walk around the block if I wanna get in. A wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. I can't explain it, I don't know why my heart beats like a fist when I meet some dude with an attitude saying,
hey, you can't do that on this.
And the man was large, a well-dressed 6'8", and he's acting like St. Peter standing guard at the pearly wristband. My man, you got to have a wristband. Hey, you don't have a wristband,
you don't get. Yeah, Paul Simon.
Yeah,
sounded pretty good there. I'm gonna have to do a dig into that. I really haven't given it a spin, so I'll have to. It's just amazing. He just keeps going.
Yeah, and he's still sound like his. Unlike other people, his voice still sounds really good, or his voice hasn't changed a lot. So it's kind of nice to hear. And it was he's the oldest man to chart at number one in the UK with that album, and it hit number three in the US, so it was a big hit.
Wow. Well, you know, I could have gone David Bowie here.
Yeah, I was expecting you to do that.
But
one of our great losses.
I've sort of found this album this year from Angel Olsen, and it is called My Woman. And it's an excellent album. This is her fourth album. And now I've dug back to the previous album, so now I'm like a huge fan. Angel Olsen, originally from St. Louis, she's a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and she's just really great. Let's hear a song from this album. It was hard for me to choose one, so I'm gonna play Heart-Shaped Face. So Angel Olsen, Heart-Shaped Face. Angel Olsen.
I like her voice. Very nice voice.
Yeah. I really like, there's a song called Sister. It's like a 7-minute long thing. It's great. The songs in this album too, it's like the first side's sort of like the hits, and then the second side's more long, languid songs that really reflect sort of what's going on inside, you know? Yeah. So I really think it's a terrific album.
Well, I'll have to check her out. I like the sound of that. So cool, there you have it. Lots of material, wow. But it's almost not necessarily like a gift episode. It's kind of our wrap-up of the year, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is more of our kind of what came out in 2016 that we think you should take a look at or listen to, and you might as well buy some for your friends, too, or yourself.
And, of course, we always look a little bit ahead to 2017 right at the end of the show. I think there's a I, Me, Mine reissue coming out of that book.
Correct.
I thought it was going to come out this year, but apparently it was pushed to next year. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking very forward to that. I've never read it. It'd be a good time for me to get that.
Yeah, supposed to have some extra material in there, too, so...
You think we'll get a new Paul release?
I think we have to get something. Yeah, there's been rumors of him recording a new album, so there might be that, or at least another McCartney reissue here. Flowers in the Dirt, hypothetical, purported Flowers in the Dirt.
I could use a reissue of some sort of a George something.
I know.
Come on.
Like Early Takes Volume 2, maybe, would be nice. Something, George. Yeah, George has been a little bit out of the limelight here.
Well, I'm going to give you one more pick'em.
Okay.
To go out for the episode. And which cover version of Happy Christmas do you want to hear? Choice one, Diana Ross. Choice two, Neil Diamond.
Ooh.
Or choice three, Damien Rice. You know Damien Rice?
No.
Well, he's a great, great singer. You might know him once you hear him.
Okay.
But well, what do you think?
Ooh, I think I'd like to hear what Diana does with it.
All right, Diana Ross.
Yes.
With her Happy Christmas to go out. Thanks for joining us. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, of course. We're a little more involved with Twitter now. And we got lots of great things coming up in the upcoming year as well. We'll tell you more about that as we go along. Thanks for listening.